Good morning. How good it is, as always, to be together in the beauty of this place on this somewhat rainy day, but still a bright day to be here sharing in a spirit of worship together. A welcome to, of course, everyone. A special welcome to those of you who may be worshiping with us, particularly those who are here with us for the first time. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at St. John's, I invite you to look at either end of your pew to find a card that looks like this. Just a little card to fill out so that we can get some information and learn a bit more about you, and so that we can be in touch and so you can learn a bit more about us. And I trust that all of you know, whether regular or visitor, that no matter who you are, no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. So welcome. Today is September 11th, and I do not want to breeze beyond that without taking a moment to reflect. This is a day that for the past 21 years has been surrounded and covered by the prayers of many. We certainly carry all of those prayers with us this day, and today we add ours. So in just a moment, I'm going to invite us to take a moment of silence to do just that and to remember all who and all that was lost on this day and the tremendous impact it has had on individuals' lives and on the life of our nation and our world. So I invite us now to take a moment of silence. Loving God, in the memory of that day 21 years ago, and in the face of this day, we pray that hope and that peace, compassion and love might prevail. Amen. Thank you. I do have a few important reminders and announcements to make this morning before we enter into worship. The first of which is that following today's service, members of our outreach team will greet you at both doors, or all the doors, and invite you to drop your loose change in their buckets to support our child sponsorship program. Your contributions to our Change for the Children offering will support Aliana Jean in the Philippines, Yoshi in India, and Isaiah in Zimbabwe, as well as the children in the after-school program at Urban Promise in Camden, New Jersey. So if you are carrying around some extra change this morning, please have it ready to drop in the buckets on your way out this morning. One reminder that the electronic recycling event is happening on Saturday, September 24th. I've shared information about that the past several weeks. If you are looking to see if an item that you have can be donated, there is a list in the narthex in the elevator lobby. There's also sign-up sheets if you're interested in sharing a few hours with us that morning to help with the whole endeavor. And if you have any specific questions, raise your hand, Don. You can talk to Don Atkus. He's wearing a robe and he's up front, so he's easy to find. A reminder, an important reminder, and an exciting reminder, Reverend Dale Davis, who is our incoming interim senior pastor, his first Sunday among us will be September 25th. So after both services that day, there will be an opportunity for donuts with Dale, which I'm excited about for a variety of reasons. please do plan to stay after that Sunday to meet Dale, to get to know him, of course, to have a donut. But that opportunity will be there after both services. And now I'm going to invite Andrew Ford about some announcements and some new additions back into our worship service.
Good morning, everyone. If you've looked in your bulletin this morning, you may be noticing a bit more text and items in the bulletin than usual, as we have added back four of our responses. This is the first time we've sung these since we've been back in person, and this is the first time I've ever led them with you. So I'm very, very excited about that. There are two at the beginning, "O my soul, bless your creator," and "I come with joy." Those can be sung by either following the text in the bulletin or by referencing the hymn number and stanza number next to it. A quick note for O My Soul, Bless Your Creator, there are a few text changes to a few of the words. So if you're singing out of the hymnal, do note those. The final two come near the end of the service. Grant us wisdom to perceive you and our doxology. Praise God, the giver and the gift. Looking forward to singing these with you soon.
Thank you, Andrew. As you'll see, there's many additions, beautiful additions to our chancel this morning, and I'm wonderfully happy to have the choir back up front and looking forward to the joyful noise we will all make together. But as we enter into worship this morning, I want to invite you, as always, to join me in taking a deep and slow breath. As we invite God into this space, as we invite God to fill us and to fill the space around us, I invite you to exhale and set aside the many things that might be worrying you or keeping your brains busy, so that we might be fully present here in this time and in this place and with these people as we enter and as we focus our hearts and minds into worship this morning. God's love doesn't grow. That's kind of a jarring statement, but let's think about it. God's love is here. It's been here since the beginning of time, and it's not going anywhere. God's love is unchanging and unfailing. There is nothing we can do for God to love us more or for God to love us less. God's love exists in abundance, an unfathomable amount, more than we can even imagine. So when we think about our theme for this morning, growing in God's love, I don't think we're talking about it being God who is growing in love. What grows is our ability to love God back. What grows is our capacity for all the love that God wants to give us. What grows is us, seeing and feeling and living into and sharing God's love. So how do we grow in God's love? Well, we experience more of God. And how do we experience more of God? We learn more. We pray more. We meet more of God's people. We see more of God's world. We invite God's love with us on our journey into our everyday lives. So may this day be a day in which we grab hold of and grow in the love that has always surrounded us, a day when we feel God's love grow within us as we gather together in this place, even now as we worship, in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join as we pray our prayer of confession that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, in order for things to grow, they must be seen, nourished, and cared for, including us. Sometimes growth is slow and unnoticeable, and we are tempted to just stop caring, deeming ourselves or whatever it is we are caring for a lost cause. Forgive us for giving up on growth when we don't see immediate results or when we have to do quite a bit of searching before we find what it is we are looking for. Help us to remember that even when we feel lost in the midst of it all is not lost. You search far and wide for us, seeking our hearts above all else, sweeping through even the darkest corners of our lives to show just how much you care. Help us to seek you with that same faithfulness and make our hearts good soil in which your love can grow. Amen. My friends, there is nowhere that God will not go to meet us. God promises us that when we confess our sins, when we claim our mistakes, when we say, I'm sorry, I've messed up, when we ask for God's help, we are met with understanding and forgiveness. God's love and grace are for us and for all people. They are priceless gifts that are meant to be received and shared in that same abundance. So may we, as we confess our sins this day, receive the gifts that God has for us. May they change the way we live in this world and the way we treat one another. Amen.
Good morning. Our first lesson today is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Our second lesson is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Good morning. I'd like to think today about searching for things. Now, there's all kinds of searching for things, some of which are really fun, like those hidden pictures, puzzles, where there's a comb or a shovel or something, and you have to find them hiding in the picture. That's really fun. Or the scavenger hunt that the children's choir did a couple weeks ago. That was pretty fun, too, because we were all together going around looking for things. And who can forget hide and seek? Now, Snowy, for those of you that don't know, Snowy is my dog. Snowy loves to play hide and seek. And she will sit on the couch, and we count to 10, and Maria will go hide, and then we say, "Go find her," and Snowy jumps off the couch and goes running around until she finds Maria, and that is her favorite game to play. Now, those are all fun things to go and seek and find and all of that. But then there's those times like you're going to miss the school bus, but you can't find your shoes. Or, I know this has happened, it's time to go to church, but we can't find our children's choir folder. So what do we do in those situations? Well, we keep looking until we find them. Then there's another kind of people wandering off. And I know dogs that have done this, and I know children that have done this, because there's something that seems really interesting over there. And they just keep wandering until, you know, over to that thing that seems more exciting than what was at home. And then the parent or the dog owner gets really upset and frantically goes around until that child or that dog is found. So I think that's a little what that must have been like for that shepherd who was looking for that lost sheep. The sheep probably wasn't upset. The sheep was having a good time wandering about until it looked around and saw there was no other sheep with it. Then it probably got a little scared and a little worried. So it's a good thing that the shepherd came along to find it. And the same thing, when children get lost, they may not think anything of it at first, but then they look around and their parents aren't there anymore, and it gets a little scary. And I think it's kind of like that if any of us get lost, that God's always there looking for us and rejoices when we are found again. So let's say a prayer and say, thank you, God, for always looking for us when we get lost and always being excited when you find us again. And thank you for giving us the prayer that you taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Loving God, you do indeed search us and know us. You seek us out. And so as we take time now to seek your wisdom in your word, I pray that your word might be in the midst of mine, and that our ears and our hearts might be open to that wisdom. Amen. It is hard to imagine a world without GPS. It's on our phones, it's built into our cars. I'll bet many of us use it every single day to get to new places or simply to check out the traffic flow or road closures. Now, I know many of you, and actually myself included, did live in a world without it. I guess we just planned a bit more or paid better attention to road signs, and we probably didn't as often go to places we had never been before. But having not grown up in this neck of the woods and also needing to make my way to lots of different churches and homes and hospitals and care facilities all over the area, it's hard to imagine just getting in the car and trying to find my way without a little voice over the car speakers telling me where to turn. I do wonder, though, if we've lost something in losing the ability to get lost. I kind of miss exploring or needing to find a detour or a last-minute shortcut or discovering a new way of getting from here to there. GPSs tell us exactly when we will arrive somewhere. It's kind of funny, down to the very minute, I'll call someone and say, I'll be there at 6:18, on the dot. But what about just getting in the car and driving and seeing where we end up? Still, without this modern invention, I suspect that I would spend significantly more time lost than found. And my dad, still an advocate for pre-planning your route, for knowing which way north is, and having an atlas under the passenger seat, would be getting a lot more calls that sound like, Dad, where am I? Being found is a good feeling, isn't it? Knowing where we are, knowing that someone else knows where we are, it's comforting and reassuring. The problem is, we can't always know where we are heading, or even where we are all of the time. We get lost, and I'm not sure that's such a bad thing. I once was lost, but now am found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. Familiar words from a favorite hymn, words that define for us the meaning of amazing grace, words of comfort, words that make us feel seen and saved and found. I once was lost, but now I am found. The thing is, I'm not convinced that we can always fit our faith into this neat before and after story, once where we once were lost, but now we are found for forever. I think that in a sense, our lostness, those times that we really lose our bearings, that is at the heart of our faith and our relationship with God. Not that we don't have moments of foundness, but if we ever find ourselves feeling like we've found all there is to find in the midst of our life of faith, we ought to be a little suspicious, and we are likely more lost than we even realize. Our scripture reading for this morning from the Gospel of Luke, along with our other reading from 1 Timothy, remind us that though God does not believe in lost causes, in fact, he even gently encourages us to get lost, not as a way of pushing us aside and telling us to go away, but because there is a time for lostness in our lives of faith. There is a purpose to not always know where everything is all the time. There is an opportunity in every wrong turn to turn around and get back on track with God's help. Paul writes to Timothy specifically to tell him about just how lost he was. Paul confesses that he was the poster child for messing up, and says, I was treated mercifully because I didn't know what I was doing. Paul uses his very life as evidence of claiming that we are totally and utterly turned around, and of God seeking and using those who are most lost and least likely. But let's focus a bit more on our gospel reading this morning. Now, as Luke sets the scene, Jesus is in trouble once again for hanging out with the wrong people. This is a theme. We've talked about it week after week. As all the tax collectors and sinners come near to listen to him, the Pharisees and scribes begin to grumble, as they always do. This guy welcomes sinners, and worse, he eats with them. Words that sound familiar. In response, Jesus tells the self-appointed religious insiders two parables. In the first, a shepherd leaves his flock of 99 to look for a single lamb that is lost. He searches high and low until he finds it, and when he does, he carries that one lamb on his shoulders, invites his friends and family to come over, and throws a party to celebrate. In the second parable, a woman loses one of her 10 silver coins. Immediately, she lights a lamp and sweeps her entire house, looking carefully for that coin until she finds it. Then, like the shepherd, she calls together her friends and neighbors and asks them to celebrate the recovery of the one coin. "Rejoice with me," she says, "for I have found the coin that I had lost." The first thing that strikes me about these parables is how often we misinterpret them, and how tempting it is to think that the lost lamb and the lost coin represent all those wayward people out there, beyond the fold, beyond the pews, beyond everything that is out of the reach of God and the church, and of course, us. But no, the lost lamb in the first parable belongs in the shepherd's flock from the very beginning of the story. It is his lamb. And the coin in the second parable belongs to the woman before she loses it. The coin is one of her very own. In other words, these parables are not about lost outsiders finally finding salvation and joining us on the right path that we're already on. These parables are about us, the quote-unquote insiders, who have simply veered off course and lost their way. Us, the churchgoers, the bread and wine consumers, the Bible readers. These are parables about lostness that we can all relate to. Lostness in our faith isn't an experience that followers of Christ are exempt from. Even those who have found something wonderful in the love of Christ still get turned around, because lostness happens to all of God's people. It happens out there, and it happens even within the beloved community. We get lost over and over again, and God finds us over and over again. Lostness is not something to point fingers at and be ashamed of. It is part of the life cycle of faith, and an important part at that. But what does it mean to be lost? So many things for so many different people, I presume. Losing our sense of belonging, losing our capacity to trust, losing our inspiration to learn more, losing our feeling of God's presence, losing our will to persevere. We feel lost when illness descends on our lives, when God's goodness starts to look not so good, when we are at rock bottom. Some of us get lost when death comes too soon and too suddenly for someone we love, and we experience a crisis of faith. We can't reconcile human suffering and death, and it leaves us confused and questioning. Some of us feel lost when our relationships hit a dead end or change drastically or unexpectedly. Some of us feel lost in the throes of addiction or anxiety or unforgiveness or hatred or bitterness. Some of us get lost when we're too far from people and places we love, and some of us get lost very close to home, within the very walls of the church even. We get lost even when we pray, Even when we read scripture, even when we sit in the pew week in and week out, even when we never miss a word of the sermon, even when we eat at Christ's table. We get lost because life happens, and life is hard and complex and difficult to wrap our heads around. We get lost because we're human, because the world is not always an easy or a kind place to navigate or survive, let alone thrive. We get lost because, plan as we might, we can't always account for road closures and bumpiness and construction and detours along life's way. We get lost because we lose our way. We veer off course. We get so miserably lost that the shepherd has to wander through the wilderness to find us. We get so wholly lost that the housewife has to light her lamp, pick up her broom, and sweep out every nook and cranny of the house to discover what's become of us. The thing that's astonishing to me is that God, the God of all creation, sees and feels each of our lostness and brings about our foundness. God searches, God persists, God lingers, God sweeps, God plods around. God wanders over hills and valleys looking for his lost lamb. God turns the house upside down looking for one lost coin. And when at last God finds what God is looking for, God cannot contain the joy that wells up inside. So God invites the whole neighborhood over, shares the happy news of recovery, and throws a party to end all parties. Now, I'll admit, that's not how I generally picture God. I don't usually imagine God as an eager and sort of foolish shepherd leaving 99 sheep to crawl through bushes and teeter over ledges in search of just one. And it's hard to wrap our heads around God as a housewife, bent over her broom, poking into dusty, cobwebby corners, hoping to spot a silvery glimmer of hope in the shadows. I struggle to conceive of God as one who seeks the small, the seemingly insignificant, the hard to find, and the just plain difficult. But then again, God rarely hangs out where we assume God does. If we trust the words of Jesus' parables, then God isn't in the fold with the 99 insiders. And God isn't at the kitchen table polishing the 9 coins she's already sure of. God is where the lost things are. God is in the darkness of despair, the wilderness of grief. God is in the dustiest corners we've got. And if we want to find God, if we want to learn about God and grow in God's love, then we have to figure out what is missing, what is lost within us or around us, and we have to seek it with everything we've got. And know deep within our hearts that as we seek, God is seeking us. There is a running joke that when it comes to navigating in the car, men have a hard time admitting they are lost, while women are more apt to pull over and ask for directions. But when it comes to our lives of faith and our lives in general, I'm not sure gender applies. It's hard for all of us to admit we are lost, to admit we need help. And pulling over and asking God for directions means admitting that we don't really know where we are or where we're going. Jesus tells these parables to religious insiders of the day who won't admit their own lostness. He shares these stories with folks who can't reconcile their piety and devotion and faithfulness with Jesus' bewildering claim that lostness, or perhaps not knowing everything, does have its value. But it does. In her book, An Altar in the World, Barbara Brown Taylor writes that lostness makes us stronger at the edges and softer at the center. Claiming that we don't know teaches us about vulnerability, about empathy, about humility, about patience. Asking for God's help shows us who we really are and who God really is. If you are feeling lost in any way or are impacted by the lostness of the world around us, if you are praying for direction, for your life, for the life of loved ones, for the life of our church or our world, if you are hoping for an answer, if you are in the wilderness of discernment, if you look around or watch the news and all you can see is a place of darkness and loneliness and fear, if you are looking, searching for God's presence of peace and comfort of hope, fear not. God is looking for you too. God is looking for us. And God is not afraid to go where we are or where the lost things are. God will do whatever it takes to restore us to foundness. It turns out God likes when we pull over and ask for directions. We do it every week when we confess our sins. God is always listening for our "Where am I?" calls. And God always finds us and gets us back on the road. So, my friends, get lost. We will without even trying. But know that God is where you are, where the lost things are, searching and seeking, finding and celebrating. May it be so in us and in our lives. Amen.
I'm glad to share with you the joys and concerns that have been shared in our Book of Celebrations. Betty Sakaitis celebrates her 95th birthday on Tuesday. We celebrate Betty and keep her in prayer as she continues to heal from a heart attack at Peter Becker. Cindy Reese celebrated a birthday this weekend. Bob and Sandy Taylor celebrate an anniversary today. For our concerns, we keep Deb Arends in our prayer as she recovers from knee replacement surgery she had on Tuesday. We continue to keep Bill Wenner in our prayers. He is out of the hospital, but still recovering at Peter Becker. And we will celebrate George Richardson's life this Saturday here at St. John's. Visitation from 9:30 to 11 and service at 11. Be with me now in prayer. Holy God, today we give you thanks and praise for the beauty of this day and for all the promise it offers. We thank you for life, for joy, for every opportunity to walk with you as children of the light. Give us a heart like the shepherd who left the 99 to go looking for the one, whose heart was full of joy when he found it, who celebrated and put the lost sheep on his shoulders because he was so happy to have found it. Help us to find our greatest joy in the finding of the lost. Help us to remember, or perhaps to know for the first time, the joy that comes from being lost and then being found by your love and grace. We lift up those who, like the shepherd, are rejoicing this day, celebrating, filled with joy and hope. For Betty, for Cindy, for Bob and Sandy, and for the children that we sponsor. We give you thanks for these blessings you have bestowed upon them. Today we also remember the significance of this date in history. None of us will forget where we were on this day 21 years ago. Lord, we pray for peace, compassion, empathy, and understanding in our nation and throughout our world today. We pray that your spirit would pour out among us and that through and by you, there would be a common heart, a common goal, and a common desire for peace and kindness towards one another. Let us not lose sight of what is important in this life and help us love one another as you truly love us. Lord, there are those among us who need your loving arms wrapped around them so that they can know you walk beside them. For Deb, for Bill, for the family and friends of George. Though they may feel lost or alone, assure them that you will search for them until they are found and comfort them through your grace and mercy. In a world that is filled with strife, grief, and loss, make your light to shine upon us and radiate from us so that we might share your light and love with those who need it most. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in your name we pray. Amen.
As we move into our time of offering this day, I hope that each of you had an opportunity to place your offering in the plates as you entered. A reminder that if you didn't get a chance to do that, you may certainly come forward after the service to place it once it is already up front. But I invite you now to stand as we join in singing our doxology together, as Margie brings our offering forward, and as we dedicate it and lift it up to God together.
Thank you.
God, you are indeed the giver and the gift. And as we place our gifts before you this day, onto your table, into your hands, knowing that it is no small thing to give away that which we have and depend on, we pray that you receive these gifts, that you bless them and transform them, that as we invest in this church and in this community, all the gifts shared this day are used to help others on the journey, that all might seek and find your love. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. As we end our time together this morning, I invite you to get your spare change ready to drop off in the buckets on your way out. But before you do that, I invite you to greet one another, to share God's love and God's peace with one another. Meet the ones around you, but perhaps find someone you've never met before. Cross the aisle. And then as you go, get lost. Go out into the world knowing that God's love, Christ's peace, and the power of God's Holy Spirit will find you. We'll go with you and we'll stay with you this day and every day. Amen.